Hi everyone, and welcome back to Memcast. I'm Rachel Saville and I'm going to be your host today. I've got Connie Gilman back with us, who's one of our palliative care registrars, and we're just going to continue on from our last episode when we were talking about antiemetics. So if you remember in the last episode, we talked about how to categorise nausea or think about the common causes of nausea and think about the receptors and how we can then target those with our antiemetic choice. Today, we're just going to focus on what special circumstances or side effects we need to consider and what non-drug treatments we could possibly use to manage people's nausea. So, hi, Connie. Welcome back.
Hello.
Obviously, we've got a few other considerations to think about when we are choosing our antiemetics, so side effects or special circumstances, contraindications for medication. What particular one do you think the IMT should remember?
So I suppose you've got kind of contraindications, you've got cautions and things you've worried about, and then you've got, yes, side effects, as you've said. So I think just being mindful of our two favourites. So ondansetron is quite constipating. Your cyclosine, because it's an antihistamine and antimuscarinic, if you've got somebody old that's already a bit confused, don't be surprised if they suddenly get more muddled with cyclosine or start to get a dry mouth or blurred vision, or they're at risk of falls. So I suppose you've got kind of like your side effects, which can surprise us. You think you prescribe a bit of PRN cyclosine and someone has a fall. I don't think people would necessarily attribute that, but it could be a contributing factor. So, and then you've got sort of your special circumstances, haven't you? So you've got your people with Parkinson's disease. So Parkinson's, they're just really tricky for all sorts of drugs. And I feel like every time I see a patient with Parkinson's, I have to check anything that I'm going to prescribe them. So patients with Parkinson's, if you give them a dopamine receptor antagonist, you're kind of doing the exact opposite of what their levodopa, which is trying to increase the amount of dopamine, their dopamine agonists, say your ertogetine and all your other ones, you're doing the exact opposite. So you're just going to make their Parkinson's worse. So, you know, they're probably going to get more tremulous, they're going to get slower. So those are for your kind of group of patients that have got Parkinson's. So you can induce, it's often called acute dopamine depletion syndrome. So just be mindful that, yeah, you might induce that in those patients.
And that's with your metoclopramide and your haloperidol.
So those are with your metoclopramide, so not your domperidone because it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier, but your haloperidol, those two mainly. There is some evidence that cyclosine is not amazing in Parkinson's patients either, but mainly those ones that really have a strong affinity for the dopamine receptors. Anybody is at risk of sort of those extrapyramidal side effects when they're taking a dopamine antagonist. So, you know, people getting kind of the tardative dyskinesia, akathisia in the weird movements, any kind of dystonia. So I think it's just keeping a lookout for those. Young women are particularly at risk of getting those. And I think that's why in a non-palliative care population, they say not really to prescribe metoclopramide for more than, I think it's 5 days, because sort of the longer these people are on them, the more at risk they are of getting those EPSEs. So we've talked about kind of the side effects of cyclosine ondansetron, your Parkinson's patients, and then your extrapyramidal side effects. And then loads and loads of the antiemetics can put you at risk of QTC prolongation. So again, something particularly in certain groups of patients you need to be quite mindful of. If people have got other risk factors for QTC prolongation, if they've got a cardiac history, we just need to be cautious about prescribing and looking at other drugs they might be on that put them at risk of QTC prolongation. So these are mainly your dopamine receptor antagonists again, so your metoclopramide, your haloperidol, your levomepromazine. Ondansetron also can put you at risk of QTC prolongation. And it's always a risk benefit, isn't it? It's always a, you know, they've not got any other side effects. Yes, it does put them at risk, but actually this is the best treatment for their nausea and trying to weigh it up, but just being mindful. And then I suppose one of the last ones is serotonin toxicity. So people can get a serotonin syndrome. So metoclopramide, ondansetron, they're two that can cause a serotonin syndrome because of their 5-HT receptor activity, particularly when they're prescribed with other drugs that act on serotonin, so your SSRIs and things. And then I would hope that you wouldn't do it, because now we know that metoclopramide and ondansetron oppose each other, but there is a caution with prescribing them together IV that they're at risk of, you're at risk of arrhythmias and things. So a few to get your head around, but hopefully I think the main thing is kind of avoiding your Parkinson's patients really, and just being mindful of side effects.
Mm-hmm. So again, bearing all that in mind, obviously there's quite a lot to think about with the pharmacological management of nausea. What simple things can we do, non-drug treatment options can we use to manage people that have got nausea?
We all see the group of patients who are prescribed one drug and then are prescribed another drug to, you know, sort out the side effect of that first drug that they've been prescribed. So actually we cause a lot of nausea and a lot of side effects of a lot of drugs by the drugs we prescribe. So I think having, you know, reviewing this person's drugs, is there something that can cause nausea? Is there something that's been newly started? And actually, can we stop that drug that could be contributing to it? Is this just something that's caused by antibiotics or something that's short term and we just need to ride it out for a few days and things will get better? But yeah, try and stop any offending drugs. Try and avoid prescribing too many extra drugs that have their own side effects to counter different side effects. And then the Scottish Palliative Care Guidelines actually have a really good section on this. So worth a Google. So regular mouth care. So if people have got thrush and dry mouth and nasty stuff going on in their mouth, people with head and neck tumours tend to get this. I mean, that in itself can make people feel really sick, can put people off food. It can change the taste of food, which makes people feel sick. So just making sure that people have got good oral care. We touched a bit on it because it causes a bit of gastric stasis, but trying to make sure that people aren't overly constipated, because your kind of slowness going through the gut in general is a side effect again of loads of the medications that we use. And it's a side effect of advancing illness, isn't it? And being more frail, but that can make people feel really sick. So doing simple things like, you know, even if it's not laxatives that are drugs, you know, your good old prunes and, you know, your grape juice and all those kinds of things that people can enjoy eating without having an increased tablet burden. So some people, it might be the smell of food that puts them off. It might be that the smell's changed. It might be that they get that anticipatory nausea when they smell it. So I suppose difficult in hospital, but trying to prepare food away from them, trying to just give people like small portions of food so they don't feel overfaced by it. Letting people have kind of like snacks and things, and then thinking about kind of things that make people feel sick. So there's anticipatory nausea. So there's lots of things you can do for that. There's some evidence for acupuncture. You can have other psychological approaches. You know, people have those acupressure bands and stuff when they're pregnant, don't they? Which have got varying degrees of helpfulness. And kind of just trying to help people stay calm and those kinds of things. But yeah, I think always just trying to think if there's anything else that's causing it before we throw a drug at them.
Mm. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today, Connie. It's been really, really helpful. For all of you guys listening, if you haven't had a go at our question of the week over on our Instagram page at mem.cast, have a look and leave any comments below. We'll see you again next week on Memcast.